We're going to do today's Bible reading in a different way today. And I encourage you to listen and see if you can enter this event, this story, and if you can identify yourselves with one of the characters. Sometimes when you read, while it's also read by someone else, that you listening and reading together, you're more sort of analyzing it. So maybe today just listen. We won't do the text on the screen, and I've invited Gabriel and Samantha to help me. If you can come forward, please. It's 1 Samuel 25, and you would like that one as well. You've got yours. Great. If the two of you can share this mic whenever it's your turn. Not a surprise that Gabriel will be David today and Samantha will be Abigail today, and I'll do the rest. So there we go. Now let us listen together. Lord, as we listen to your word, move with your Holy Spirit, because we want to open our hearts and hear what you want to say to us through your Holy Spirit. Amen. What's happening? Now, am I through the... There, thank you. Now Samuel died, and all Israel assembled and mourned for him. And they buried him at his home in Ramah. And then David moved down into the desert of Paran. A certain man in Maon, who had property there at Carmel, was very wealthy. He had 1,000 goats and 3,000 sheep, which he was shearing in Carmel. His name was Nabal, and his wife's name was Abigail. She was an intelligent and beautiful woman, but her husband was surly and mean in his dealings. He was a Calebite. While David was in the wilderness, he heard that Nabal was shearing sheep. So he sent 10 young men and said to them,
"Go up to Nabal at Carmel and greet him in my name. Say to him, 'Long life to you, good health and to you and your household, and good health to all that is yours. Now I hear that it is sheep shearing time. When your shepherds were with us, we did not mistreat them, and the whole time they were at Carmel, nothing of theirs was missing. Ask your own servants, and they will tell you. Therefore, be favorable toward my men, since we come at a festive time. Please give your servants and your son David whatever you can find for them.'"
When David's men arrived, they gave Nabal this message in David's name. Then they waited. Nabal answered David's servants, "Who is this David? Who is this son of Jesse? Many servants are breaking away from their masters these days. Why should I take my bread and water and the meat I have slaughtered for my shearers and give it to men coming from who knows where?" David's men turned around and went back. When they arrived, they reported every word. David said to his men,
"Each of you strap on your sword."
So they did, and David strapped his on as well. About 400 men went up with David, while 200 stayed with the supplies. One of the servants told Abigail, Nabal's wife, "David sent messengers from the wilderness to give our master his greetings, but he hurled insults at them. Yet these men were very good to us. They did not mistreat us, and the whole time we were out in the fields near them, nothing was missing. Night and day, they were a wall around us the whole time we were herding our sheep near them. Now think it over and see what you can do, because disaster is hanging over our master and his whole household. He is such a wicked man that no one can talk to him." Abigail acted quickly. She took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 dressed sheep, 5 sheaves of roasted grain, 100 cakes of raisins, 200 cakes of pressed figs, and loaded them on donkeys. Then she told her servants,
"Go on ahead, I'll follow you."
But she did not tell her husband Nabal. As she came riding her donkey into the mountain ravine, there were David and his men descending towards her. And she met them. David had just said,
"It's been useless, all my watching over this fellow's property in the wilderness so that nothing of his was missing. He has paid me back evil for good. May God deal with David, be it ever so severely, if by morning I leave alive one male of all who belong to him."
When Abigail saw David, she quickly got off her donkey, bowed down before David with her face to the ground. She fell at his feet and said,
"Pardon your servant, my lord, and let me speak to you. Hear what your servant has to say. Please pay no attention, my lord, to that wicked man Nabal. He is just like his name. His name means fool, and fully goes with him. And as for me, your servant, I did not see the man that my lord sent. And now, my lord, as surely as the Lord your God lives and as you live, since the Lord has kept you from bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hands, may your enemies and all who are intent on harming my lord be like Nabal, and let this gift which your servant has brought to me be given to the men who follow you. Please forgive your servant's presumption. The Lord your God will certainly make a lasting dynasty for my lord, because you fight the Lord's battles, and no wrongdoing will be found in you as long as you live. Even though someone is pursuing you to take your life, the life of my lord will be bound securely in the bundle of the living by the Lord your God. But the lives of your enemies he will hurl away as from the pocket of a slain. When the Lord has fulfilled for my lord every good thing he promised concerning him and has appointed him ruler of Israel, my lord will not have on his conscience the staggering burden of needless bloodshed or of having avenged himself. And when the Lord your God has brought my success, remember your servant."
David said to Abigail,
"Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, who has sent you today to meet me. May you be blessed for your good judgment and for keeping me from bloodshed this day and from avenging myself with my own hands. Otherwise, as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, who has kept me from harming you, if you had not come quickly to meet me, not one male belonging to Nabal would have been left alive by daybreak."
Then David accepted from her hand what she had brought him and said,
"Go home in peace. I have heard your words and granted your request."
When Abigail went to Nabal, he was in the house holding a banquet like that of a king. He was in high spirits and very drunk. So she told him nothing at all until daybreak. Then, in the morning, when Nabal was sober, his wife told him all these things, and his heart failed him, and he became like a stone. About 10 days later, the Lord struck Nabal, and he died. When David heard that Nabal was dead, he said,
"Praise be to the Lord, who has upheld my cause against Nabal for treating me with contempt. He has kept his servant from doing wrong and has brought Nabal's wrongdoing down on his own head."
Then David sent word to Abigail, asking her to become his wife. His servants went to Carmel and said to Abigail, "David has sent us to you to take you to become his wife." She bowed down with her face to the ground and said,
"I am your servant and am ready to serve you and wash the feet of my lord's servants."
Abigail quickly got on a donkey and, attended by her 5 female servants, went with David's messengers and became his wife. David had also married Ahinoam of Jezreel, and they both were his wives. But Saul had given his daughter Michal, David's wife, to Paltiel, son of Laish, who was from Galim. Thank you very much. Yes, you may give them a hand. Beauty. Beautiful people. Who would you recognize as beautiful? Just take a moment, just think. The people you know, or know because you've seen me on the internet or in the magazines. Who would you regard as beautiful? Is it one of your favorite celebrities? Somebody good looking? Somebody who matches your dreams? In the book of Samuel, we meet people who are described as beautiful. But somehow beauty is measured in a different way in 1 Samuel. The famous line in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, when the Lord speaks to Samuel, when Samuel looked at the beautiful, tall, oldest son of Jesse, man looks at outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Now, David was also beautiful. A few verses later, we read that in verse 12. And we've seen his beauty already in the series up till now. The events in which David honored God, and in this, he turned out to be a beautiful man, a man after God's heart. The way he approached the Philistines, Goliath, not killing Saul. That was the message last week in 1 Samuel chapter 23. Although Saul was pursuing him, David said no. But it's not just in chapter 24, it's also in chapter 26, in more or less the same situation. Saul pursuing David, trying to kill him. David getting the opportunity to stop Saul and to kill him, and he does not do it. Although his friends and his men say, you should do it. Now is the time. This is the day the Lord has given you. So that's in chapter 24, and in chapter 26, we have a beautiful David. Honoring God, not avenging himself, honoring God. And in the chapter in between, David loses his beauty. In the chapter 25, what happens? Nabal, the fool, he does not give David what he asks. He could. And he should, for many reasons. But he's the kind of man who says, there is no God. We meet these kind of people in our lives. Beware of those people who say there is no God, and you meet them. Beware, because they will offend you one day or another. There are two psalms in the book of Psalms, Psalm 14 and Psalm 53. They're almost identical. And it starts with the sentence, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Two psalms, almost copy-paste. Why is that? The fool says, the Hebrew for fool is Nabal, that Nabal says there is no God. Beware when you meet people who say there is no God. David is offended. You might be offended. And David responds with the sword, and he responds with strong words. He is furious. He is so angry. It's just a very brief sentence. Each of you strap on your sword. But later on, just before Abigail is, her speech is there in Scripture, we read a few more verses about David. We read there in verse 21, it's been useless, all my watching over this fellow's property in the wilderness, so that nothing of his was missing. Now, read also in a different translation, for instance, the King James Version, because at the end of these words of David, in the NIV it says, may God deal with David, be it ever so severely, if by morning I leave alive one male of all who belong to him. Now, male, it doesn't say man, it says male. And that's the NIV to translate the Hebrew, which is literally, if I leave alive one who pisseth against the wall. I.e., referring to those of us who urinate in this way. That's literally the Hebrew. And you can read that in the King James Version. He is furious. And in his response, he loses his beauty. His heart is not after the Lord. He doesn't think of him. He doesn't consult him. He's in danger of becoming a fool himself, not thinking of God, acting as if there is no God. And then comes Abigail. Her name, Abigail, means the father rejoices. She humbles herself. She takes all the blame. She acknowledges the foolishness of her husband. Boo. She asks forgiveness. And most importantly, she brings back to David the sense of his identity as the anointed of the Lord. And especially the verses 28 and 29, we read the words that she tells David, the Lord will certainly make you into a lasting dynasty for my master, because he fights the Lord's battle. Even though someone is pursuing you to take your life, the life of my master will be bound securely in the bundle of the living by the Lord your God. But the lives of your enemies he will hurl away as from the pocket of a sling. Reminding David what happened when he fought Goliath. She's reminding him, David, you're the anointed. David, remember that the battles are God's battles. What are you doing? Abigail is beautiful because she mentions here in her speech 7 times the name of the Lord. J-W-H-W-W. David doesn't mention the name of the Lord at all. He just says once God, Elohim. But he's just thinking of power and of who's the bad guy and who's the good guy. I'm the good guy, he's the bad guy. God is going to help me. But Abigail speaks of the God who has revealed himself at Sinai, in the law that he's given to the people of Israel. Now all of us are sensitive to beauty. That's the way God has created us. with the ability to enjoy beauty. But there are two dangers here. The first danger is what the Proverbs tell us in chapter 27, verse 20, that the eyes are never satisfied. And if you're looking now on your smartphone, please switch it off. The smartphone is something that you will get addicted to easily, because eyes are never satisfied. Those of you who look on the internet for pornography, you know that eyes get never satisfied. That's danger number one. You become a slave, addicted to things that keep your attention by watching it. Secondly, the danger of enjoying beauty is that beauty is never only what our senses report to us. And that's the teaching here in 1 Samuel. Now, when we think of beautiful people, we usually think of women. In the animal world, it's usually the males who are beautiful. But I'm sorry, men. Here in our world, it's the women. And Mathilde has been in touch with some of our beautiful young ladies in our church. And in the summer edition of our newsletter, she has shared something about what she has taught our young ladies. And this is still very relevant. I've been in touch with her, and I've asked her to come forward and to just briefly share something. What are the specific challenges that the young ladies need to deal with today? Can you just briefly?
Yeah, we studied as the young teenagers the book Lies Young Women Believe, and it's for women and it's for men alike. We are deceived by little lies. Lies that come in our heads and we think, oh, we can deal with it, mm-hmm. because, you know, I'm a Christian. But there are so many little lies, and I see my own daughters, but I see the people around me. We are so addicted to our iPhone. We are we look at it all the time. We look at internet. Netflix is our source of enjoying ourselves. And when I was thinking of it, I thought, what would Abigail have thought when her mind was only influenced by Netflix or by the internet or by what celebrities would think? She would have never responded this way, because when you fill your eyes and your mind with what's in the world, you will have a different perspective on how you react, because what you see is what gets in your mind, what gets in your heart, and what's in your heart gets out of your mouth. That's what the Bible says. And this book learns that we are deceived in so many ways, young teenagers, children, men and women. I'm deceived too all the time. But the countervailing power is the blood of Jesus, is the truth in the Bible. And God says that we are made in his image, that we are beautiful as how we are. We don't have to look at celebrities to see how thin they are, to be like they are, to wear the clothes that they wear, because we can never measure up. God says we are a pearl in his hand. We are beautifully made. And that's what I try to tell those young girls. You can be a woman, a child of God, because we are children of God. We are his bride. So we're fine. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Mathilde. You may be seated. Yes, this is, you think, all right, I know the truth from the Bible. But as you say, whatever we see sticks in our mind and somehow corrects our thinking in a wrong way. Now, Mathilde, she forwarded to me a song by Lauren Daigle, You Say, and here are the lyrics. I keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. I am more than just the sum of every high and every low. Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know. Just want to move on to lyrics. We were going to listen to the song, the original song, in just a moment. You say I'm loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I'm strong when I think I'm weak. You say I'm held when I'm falling short, and when I don't belong, oh, you say I'm yours. And I believe, oh, I believe what you say of me, I believe. The only thing that matters now is everything you think of me. In you I find my worth, in you I find my identity. I think it's a very powerful song. But there is another line that she sings, which I believe is crucial. Because just saying, you say, I'm loved when I can't feel a thing, that's not enough. If you fight the battle on the level of emotions, on the level of self-esteem, you will lose the battle. Because then you hear in the church, oh, God loves you. But then you go home and you hear other things and there are other voices in your head. They tell you different things. Well, who's going to win? That one time that you hear God loves you? You think, yes, you're beautiful. And then you look in the mirror, you're not beautiful. So it's not enough just to hear now and again that God loves you. We don't just need to fight on the level of emotions and self-esteem. More importantly, we need to fight the spiritual battle. And here comes her last line, taking all I have, and now I'm laying it at your feet. You have every failure, God, and you'll have every victory. I surrender all, that's the song that Noldy selected just before this message. Very appropriate. Laying it down. Because when somebody says to you, you are not so beautiful, or maybe it's in your mind, I'm not that beautiful, then on the one hand, God says, I love you, but he doesn't say, oh, you're beautiful. Oh, just come to me and be as you are. Yes, you always come as you are, but never leave as you are. Because what we read in Romans chapter, is it there on the screen? There we go. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 and 24. We read, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. The Bible doesn't say, oh, it's not that bad. You're not, okay, maybe you're not beautiful, you're not very good, but it's okay, it's okay. I love you anyway. No, the Bible says you are a sinner and you fall short of the glory of God. God's purpose for your life is the glory of God. You've made in his image. You're made in his likeness. But it doesn't end there when it says you fall short of the glory of God, but it continues, the Bible saying us that we are justified freely by grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God wants to bestow his glory upon us, not just helping us in our self-esteem a little bit more and accepting who we are. And he wants his glory. He wants us to dress with the garments of his son Jesus Christ. Put on Jesus Christ, Paul says in Romans. That's his purpose for your life. That's his calling. So when we listen to Lauren's song, you say, also remember that he says, I want you to wear the glory of my son Jesus Christ. When the Lord says you are beautiful, it's a call to become beautiful. And as soon as you focus on the inner beauty, as soon as you focus on becoming more and more like Jesus, then that will have effect on how you experience yourself. Because true beauty is never only what senses report to us, but in the more and beyond, we sense the glory of God. And that can only come through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. That's the key. First, acknowledge you're a sinner. You fall short of the glory of God. Yes. All of us. But there is redemption through Jesus Christ. Now let's listen to the song. And could you fade out after that sentence? And then gradually fade out. Yes, please. taking all I have, and now I'm laying it all at your feet. You have every failure, God, and you'll have every victory. The Lord is inviting us to his table. He is inviting us to receive bread and to receive the cup. He's inviting us to lay down at his feet all our failures, the acknowledgement that we indeed fall short of his glory. And he has carried all our sins, our shortcomings, our failures on the cross of Calvary. And that's why he said, when he gave the